conference that I've been doing there for, I think, since its beginning, which I think was 2001. So this was the sixth year. And it was an amazing event again. We have different healing ministries from around the world that come together. One of the fun things is we, some of the speakers, we get together and kind of make a little curiosity, kind of a wager, a bet on how many our friend from Nigeria has raised from the dead this year. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to get out of the country, so we don't know. But it's a great time to connect with ministers of the gospel from around the world. I think next year's conference, I think Reinhard Bonnke is going to be there. So that, as we understand it, we'll see. Jean-Luc is one of the individuals I've mentioned to some of you, at least in the past, in smaller meetings. Jean-Luc is from Switzerland. We hope to have him here in the School of Ministry before the year's over. Talked with him about coming. He's a young man that has an amazing miracle anointing. I've heard a couple of the greatest miracles I've ever heard of in my life happen from him. And what's happening right now is the Catholic churches all over Europe are hearing about the miraculous, and they are inviting these guys in. And the places in France, for example, the people, there's so many people coming to this thing, mostly non-believers, come to these cathedrals that there's all the streets around it are just one big parking lot. And they finally just close down traffic, call it a parking lot, and people just walk to the cathedral. And it's just packed to the rafters. They have to turn people away. And they're so desperate for miracles. You know, the enemy never wins by making things barren or dark. All he does is incite people a sense of destiny. And when they hear truth, they just will pay any price for it. And it's a glorious thing how the Lord is using some of these folks. One of his friends is the assistant to be like a mayor over Paris, but larger than Paris. It's that entire region, almost like a governor. He was there. He's a Holy Ghost-breathing revivalist. Fire-breathing revivalist, and that was fun to see from France. He could not believe I was an American. He said, "Are you sure you're an American?" And he said, "Yes, I'm all the way. Every part of me is." So, told him yes. Some of what has happened through Jean-Luc, for example, is I think it's been 2 years ago now, when he was in Spain, a little girl was brought into the church. It was a small church. Little girl was brought into the church that had no arms or legs and was deaf, dumb, and mute. Wrapped in a blanket, when they brought the girl in, the people just began to weep. Not in intercession, just began to weep in mourning because of this horrible, horrible sight of this poor girl. And he said something happened in the meeting where there was just a shift in presence. And people began to minister to the girl and pray. I don't have all the details, but I know the best part. It took an hour and a half of praying over this girl, but the arms, the legs grew out. Her eyes were open. Her deaf ears were unstopped, and she spoke. She jumped up. She ran to her mother. Now remember, she's never seen or spoken before. Ran to her mother and said, "Where's Daddy?" First words out of her mouth, "Where's Daddy?" And the father had left when she was born. He just left. And the mother pointed to heaven and said, "He's your daddy." Isn't that amazing? One of the greatest miracles I've ever heard of in my life. There's one that is greater, but I'll not get into it now. Another time. Tonight. We'll have Danny share it tonight. No, another miracle that happened with him, Jean-Luc. A man was born with legs that were so horribly deformed, they were actually reversed, and they were pinned up along his back. And somebody prayed for him. He shot in the air. The legs just instantly turned around. He landed on his feet, and he's just completely healed. I mean, stunning, stunning miracles like that. Is that amazing? It's amazing. Anyway, that's the kind of people that I got to hang out with this last week. And I don't always give you full reports like this, but I want to give you a little bit more report today for some specific reasons. This is the, this is maybe the third, at least the third, perhaps the fourth conference that I've been with Heidi Baker in the last 2 months. We just seem every 2 weeks, we seem to meet somewhere in the world at a conference that we're both speaking at, and forgot the other one was going to be there. And so Heidi, Ronald and Heidi Baker are real heroes to us and most anyone who know them. Their kids are here, part of our church, and their headquarters, their U.S. headquarters is here, Iris Ministries. And it's an amazing story. They're going to be with us on November, I think it's the 11th, that Sunday. And we're going to have what we refer to as a marriage of ministries. It's going to be a very, very interesting day. Here's this couple that planted 4 churches in 17 years and about killed them trying. And they went to Toronto, got so powerfully touched by the Lord that in the 8 years since, they've planted 8,000 churches. And the particular area where I went to this last summer to be with them and to be teaching there, they have a mission school, and then we go out and do outreaches. The part of the country that I was in, that they live in now, had been written off as unreachable by some missions organizations. Their missionaries had gone there and served with no breakthrough whatsoever. It's a very violent, hostile area. And in the 2 years they've been there, they only have 500 churches that they've planted in an unreachable group. It's just amazing. Somehow we got to get a 747, load you all up. Actually, we need bigger than a 747 now. We're going to need one of them new 380s or whatever they are, those Airbuses. A couple of them. Just load you all up and take you. Yeah. Yeah. I rarely come back with much report. I'll give a few testimonies, occasionally highlights. But it's so hard to accurately represent what happens. You guys hear of it every day. It happens around our city every day. It's become very normal and practical. But all of us who travel, we have, I don't know how many pastors we have on staff. We have somewhere around 26. And a very large part of them travel. And do you know what we are? We are not, I would hate the idea of being merely somebody who travels in ministry. Is just, it's not repulsive in the sense that I don't think anyone should do it. It's just, it's so far away from my heart because I'm an exporter. I export. We teach, we practice things here. We experiment, we get breakthrough. I take you, your stories, out. I take what works at home on the streets of our city and the schools of our city. That's what we do, is we take the experiments that we run that with the people that are courageous and are willing to live with risk, willing to live with in awkward situations where God just shows up in unexplainable ways, and we walk out of here wondering what in the world has just happened, and later hear of the cancer that dissolved, or whatever miracle of deliverance, or whatever it might be. So we export, and that's really who we are. And so I'm really thrilled to be able to do what I do and to represent you and take part of your life out with me as I go. This last week, one of the things that took place, actually I need to back up a little bit. Remind me, I was going to talk to you about this last week because I will forget. I don't have a GPS device, a glory positioning satellite. I don't have. I lose my way. A couple weeks ago, I was in Ohio with Heidi, did I tell you about the, I don't think I told you this one. In Ohio, remind me I was telling you about Heidi, and then remind me about, it's pitiful, isn't it? Yeah. I was in a meeting, and someone got healed in their feet, and I forget what it was now. I've had a bunch of meetings since then. And then somebody else got healed, feet in their healed. Jesus, help this man. Someone else got healed, and I realized God is healing all over this building, feet. And so I had everybody stand that had a problem, and the power of God just went through the place. We had so many people healed with their feet. One gal sitting there, and she thinks to herself, my daughter's friend, Emily, has problems with her feet. I wish I could call her on the cell phone, because I was encouraging people, call people on the phone. Just call them. Word of knowledge comes, just calls them on a cell phone. And because we see so many people get healed on cell phones. We had one this last week. So remind me, I was telling you about another one. We had one this last week. A gal woke her husband up, got him out of bed. He's not worked for 10 years. His feet were deformed. Got him out of bed because words of knowledge were coming about feet. He got out of bed and was healed. It's amazing. So, as I backtrack to Ohio, you didn't think I'd remember. I'm impressed myself. I better hurry or I'll forget it. In Ohio, this feet thing's going on. So this gal's thinking, man, I would call my daughter's friend if I only knew her number. A phone number drops into her mind. Hello? That's a word of knowledge right there. That's a word. A phone number drops into her mind. She wonders if that's it. She takes her husband's cell phone, punches in the number, and somebody answers on the other end, and it's the young lady she was hoping to talk to. And she said, Emily, this is going to sound very strange, but I'm in a meeting where feet are being healed. Do you have a problem with your feet? She says, Yes, I do. She was on crutches a couple weeks ago, disease in the balls of the feet or something. And she loves to dance and stuff. She can't, crippled up. She said, this is going to sound strange, but try to do something you could not do. Just go do it. She puts the phone down. She comes back a few minutes later. She goes, this is freaky. Because the Lord completely healed her. So I'm in Ohio with Heidi, and they were talking. We're in this conference, and the pastor of the church, Steve Witt, Lauren Witt, was part of our school for 2 years. Steve Witt was talking about they were raising money because they were going to buy this well drilling rig. You know what? Just give me the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's going to get any better. I'm overdue for a nap, and my alarm just went off, and you'll have to just endure. He started talking about this well drilling rig that they were buying for this missions group. And Heidi was there in the front row. And she said, man, she says, I want one of those. Because what they do is they go into these villages. Entire villages get saved. They go in and preach the gospel. She starts a meeting by saying, bring me your deaf. Bring all of your deaf. And then she'll say, is this person deaf? Do you know for sure? Do you know this one? They go right down the line. She says, every one of them will hear if you bring them to me. And she prays every one of them, 100% of the time they're healed. And the entire village is saved. So she says, man, I want one of those because what we'll do is we'll put a well at the church. And that way the church can be a real life source to the entire community. And so I said, well, how much are they? She said, about $100,000. I said, when you come in November, she says, I'll give you a check for $100,000. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. We will give you a check for $100,000. How many of you think that's a good idea between now and November 11th? $10,000 has already come in. We've already got $10,000 committed for this, so we got $90,000 to go between now and the 11th of November. I'm not going to raise any money today, but I just wanted to let you know. So when I mention it next week and the next week, each week you'll get more excited. Amen. Is that awesome? A couple of years ago, we bought, 100 bikes or 120 bikes or something, because they can plant churches as fast as they can get to the villages. And they were having to walk. And I heard somebody say once, man, if we just had a bike, we could plant twice as many churches. So I came home and told you, we bought, 120 bicycles. So the pastors can now travel from village to village faster, plant more churches, get more people saved. It's just a no-brainer. I mean, this is why we're alive, right? Anyway, so those of you that want to help with this, perhaps starting next week or the week after, we'll start taking in collection for this. But $100,000. Say, put your hand on your heart and go, amen. Good. All right. So Randy prays for this gal. She gets her knee healed. She had a real messed up knee. I started the service earlier with the part of the story, but she started with a real messed up knee, and she got so healed. She was from Teen Challenge, and she got so excited. She was like a balloon that got blowed up, and nobody ever tied it, just let it go. She was doing stuff with her body that I would be sore for a week if I tried, and I may lose body parts in the process. She was moving, jumping around, running, screaming, this whole deal. And Randy, a man came up that needed, he was having knee replacement surgery, I believe, the next day. And Randy said to her, freely you've received, freely give, and told her to pray for the man. And she hadn't taken our class on how you lay hands on somebody gently, pray quietly. This gal's from the street. She was in a drug rehab program, teen challenge. She grabbed that knee. That poor man, she's massaging this thing. She's grabbing this leg. She's crying and screaming and crying out. And that guy got an absolute brand new knee. He doesn't need knee replacement surgery. Right after him, a woman came up. They started rushing her. They started rushing her like, you know, like blue light special or something. They started getting in line. The next lady had knee replacement surgery scheduled for this next week. She got healed. She prayed for at least an hour, and I think it may have been closer to 2 hours. She prayed for people because they just kept lining up. For at least the first hour, she was 100%. Every single person she prayed for got healed. How many know that can mess with you a little bit? That can change your ambitions for life. I think I have found something to do. So anyway, it was just a real good event. The point that I want to share with you this morning is that things are happening all over the world, and it is so extreme. It is so, it's the kind of stuff that you dreamed of when you first got saved, where entire regions are so powerfully impacted. I wish there was some way. I don't think it's appropriate for us to take time week after week to give full reports like I'm trying to do this morning, just because it's important for us to prophetically declare what we believe God is saying over this house and where we're going, what our lifestyle is to be like, etc. But I'm stirred this morning, and we'll share a verse with you in a few minutes, but I'm stirred this morning with this whole idea because I wish there was some venue, some way we could publish what God is doing all over the world. I wish there were some news agency that all they did was just tell us the good news. Good news doesn't sell. You know that, and I know that. We can't expect CBS and CNN and whoever, we can't expect them to major in good news. They're just not going to do it. But what we can do is to make sure that we keep our ear open to hear what the Lord is doing, because what he's doing is around the world, and it's absolutely major. It's just, it is so amazing. Friday night we had over 250, and it may have been closer to 300, miracles of healing that took place in one meeting. And it was so extreme what took place in those minutes. The amount of people that were healed. We had a night previous to that, had a gal come up to me with 6 broken vertebrae in her back. And the doctor said they couldn't do anything. She'd have to just learn to live with pain. There was, because of the location or however it took place, I'm not sure the details, but they couldn't do anything. She was, I'm guessing, she was maybe 20 years old. She had been a gymnast, and she was now assigned, she's in great pain, and she's now assigned to a lifestyle of pain. And that's the rest of her life. There's nothing they can do. So I laid hands on her back, and a friend of mine, we together put our hand on her back, and it was just one of those times where it just became red hot, not just pleasantly warm. It just became so hot, that healing power of God. And I said, all right, you need to check it out. Did you feel that? She said, yes, I did. I said, then check it out. I said, what can you do? She said, well, I was a gymnast. I go, okay. I'm getting a little nervous now. She says, I can do, what is it called again? It's a back bend, where they bend over backwards. I mean, this is nuts. Totally nuts. Bend over backwards till the palms of your hands hit the ground backwards, and then the feet go back over. I'm thinking that'll break a good back. You weren't made to do that. What's up? So she says, well, I can try a back bend. So she goes out in the foyer where there was some room, because the place was just packed with people. And she comes back maybe 10 minutes later. She says, it's perfect. It's fine. It's healed. So I told Heidi, yay, God. I told Heidi, and she says, well, get up here and do something. So she gets up on the stage. And I hadn't seen her do it before. When she told me she was going to go do this back thing, I thought, oh, no. This... oh no. And she came back, so she gets up on the stage. She does that thing amazingly and beautifully, and she was healed. So great, great story. Great, great testimony. But the most moving moment, came when a gentleman came up with a cell phone. We had had so many people healed on cell phones. Again, words of knowledge would come. They just get their friend on the phone. Somebody had a disease similar to ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. It's called PLS. Instead of the vital organs breaking down, it's the non-vital organs. And called her, I think it was her husband on the phone. And I don't know all that happened, because stuff like that has to go through an examination. But he was powerfully touched and able to do what he could not do before he got up out of bed. And the Lord just did amazing miracles of resetting bones, you know, the thing that we have happen here so often. A woman broke a bone up here many years ago. The bones grew back on top of each other. And the Lord healed that, reset the bone. And she wasn't able to straighten the arm and reset the bone. She's now able to have full motion. So things like that are actually, they're normal. They're every week. It's impossible to tell you even week by week what happens. They happen on the streets of our city. It's impossible for us to give you a full report. But what I do want you to know is this, is that you have helped to create a culture. Your obedience to the Lord, your willingness to take risk, has helped to create a movement, a culture. And the reach of the movement, the acts of faith that you've exercised, the risk that you've taken, has created such a momentum that people that you will never meet till eternity will thank you. Because they've heard of your story. They've heard of the 2.5-year-old in Target. They've heard of the high school student on the football field. They've heard of the various stories that are week after week after week. And the most moving thing that happened was this gentleman who came up with a cell phone. And I found out later he was with the Amish people when those girls were killed here just a couple weeks ago. He was happened to be with them at the time. As a result, I can't go into a lot of detail just because of where these tapes go. But as a result, there's been a tremendous number of people that have been saved. They've been born again because he was in a place. Now, God didn't sponsor the catastrophe, the slaughter of those children. It's absolute hellish. But this is what we run with, and this is what has to distinguish you from other people on the planet, is that you know God can take any hellish situation and reverse its effect and turn its effect around. And a whole bunch of folks have been saved. Well, he came to me with the cell phone. He says, I have one of the men of that Amish group on the phone. Would you pray for him concerning the 5 girls that are still alive? They're in intensive care. And so as a congregation, we joined together and prayed. Words can't really describe a moment like that where a church rises up, a conference rises up and cries out to the Lord on behalf of 5 children that just did not get what they deserved. And praying for a creative miracle, I tell it to you because I want you to continue praying for these children. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that we've looked at before. And in fact, I feel like one of the most important nights we've had as a church since I've been here was actually about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Sunday night. And I shared from this passage and several others. Before I read that, I want to read a little story to you. A university professor challenged his class. Did God create everything? A student replied, yes. The professor continued, if God created everything, then he created evil too. And since our works define who we are, then God is evil. The class became silent. Suddenly another student raised his hand and asked, Professor, does darkness exist? The professor responded, yes. The student responded, no, sir, darkness does not exist. Darkness is just the absence of light. Light we can study, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break the white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. But you cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain place is? You measure the amount of light present. Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is not light present. The young man asked, "Sir, does evil exist?" Uncertain, the professor responded, "Of course." To this, the student responded, "No, evil does not exist, sir, or at least not, it does not exist unto itself. It is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness, a word that man has created to describe the absence of light. Evil did not create evil. God did not create evil. It is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. Evil is like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light." The professor sat down. The young man's name was Albert Einstein. Isaiah 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Now remember verse 2, darkness covers the earth. Out of that darkness we have verse 3. The Gentiles will come to your light, out of darkness into your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is a very strong prophetic passage that I don't have the time to go into. I did it on a Sunday night here 3 or 4 weeks ago, as I mentioned. And this particular verse for Chris and Danny and myself, Charlie, for those that have come here from Weaverville, this was a very monumental passage in the life of our church, because it was from this that the Lord opened up so much understanding of what the church, what our assignment is in this lifetime. And what I want to tell you is basically this. Culturally, I think it's already well established in most people's lives. But the answer is not to raise up people that chase the devil, that look for demons to bind. All those things are important when they get in the way. What's important for you and me is to respond to the call that God has given us, which is to what? Arise and shine. You have the capacity to rise because your light has come. That light is Jesus. Jesus is the light, John 1, who enlightens every person that comes into the world. He is the light of the world twofold. Number one, he was the light that came into the world. But number two, he rose from the grave and he came once again in resurrected form. And so people tend to read passages like this and say, "Arise, shine, your light has come." Must be a millennial passage. Must be a passage that has to do far off into the future. And the great tragedy for me, the great, great frustration, perhaps my greatest frustration in dealing with church people, is that we have a tendency of putting off into a future season what is too hard to believe for in the season we live in. It's theological irresponsibility to take what requires extraordinary faith and put it into a season for which I have no responsibility. It is done historically over and over and over again. And what happens then is that people live thinking that something is coming someday, not realizing the ground they stand on is filled with the presence of the Lord and with the purpose of the Lord. And this verse was uttered several thousand years ago to prepare for a generation that would experience this light coming. Jesus has come to you. So many wait for another meeting, maybe getting called out and getting given another prophetic word or another conference or another wave of laughter or another whatever it might be that we could put on our list of favorites. And I like them all and I cry out for all of them to increase. But the responsibility is quite different from that, because what you have in this passage is you have a responsibility because of what has happened. And when the responsibility takes place, when we are stewards of a moment we've been given, he says, "Arise, shine." What does that look like? It means that we take our rightful place. Light in Scripture, the light of his countenance, is one of favor, pleasure, and joy. When the Bible talks about arise and shine, it is literally referring to a people that bear his countenance. The countenance of favor, not the countenance of anger. Are you guys all right? The countenance of favor, it's a big deal. How do they know the favor of the Lord? They see it on the face of those who have beheld him. That's the scripture. Psalm 67 says, that they may know. The favor of the Lord would enlighten your face that they would know. That's the tool, is that God wants to put the beauty of his countenance on your countenance so that because Jesus came, my light has come, therefore I must arise. I can't wait for something else to happen. What more do I need to have happen? He rose from the dead, called me by name, caused me to be born again, forgave me of sin, gave me a blank sheet, all my past has been forgiven, put the spirit of the resurrected Christ in me. What else do I need to have happen before I step in and take a rightful place of responsibility? And here's what he says. He says this, it's like here's this chain reaction that takes place. You arise, you take faith in what I've already done for you. The light has come, number one. Therefore, you have permission and responsibility. Get up. Stop sitting and waiting for something else to happen. Get up. Get in motion and begin to radiate the reflection of the nature of God, of the favor of God that is shining on you. Look for the face of the Lord. Look for that countenance of God in your life. The joy, the pleasure of God, the favor of the Lord, that intimacy with God, because it changes your countenance. That's what it means to shine. When the church shines like that, then it attracts the glory of heaven. You've got to see this. Arise, shine, for your light has come. What's the response? The response is, as then the glory arises upon you. Glory is a big deal. It's like, this is it, folks. It doesn't get any higher, clearer, or bigger, or more important. When we talk about the glory, we're talking about the manifested presence of the King upon his people. Moses experienced it. They had to put a blanket over his head because his face radiated and reflected the glory. When we talk about the glory coming into a meeting, we're not talking about a nice little casual sense of God's presence. We're not talking about an entertaining feature of a meeting. When we talk about the glory, we're talking about that which causes men to find a place to bury their faces. I'll tell you, I have believed it for many years, and I believe the Lord is, as we learn this, I believe the Lord's going to honor it with this experience. We will have meetings that are not measured in hours, but in days, where the presence of the Lord comes in such a dramatic way. But he only releases that kind of presence, that kind of manifestation over a people that will jealously guard what he has given. Because his presence is not to be abused or prostituted for personal gain or for fame or, you know, that sort of stuff. Do you understand me? So the Lord here is preparing a group of people. He says, arise, shine. Why? Because your light's already come. I've already done what's necessary to make it possible for you to get up and reflect my nature on your countenance. Do that part. Then what happens? Even, he's saying, even though darkness surrounds you, out of that darkness, the Gentiles, the kings of nations, the leaders of people groups around the planet, come to you. Come to your light. This is a prophetic theme throughout Scripture, where when the people of God take their place and reflect the countenance and the pleasure of the Lord, people are drawn and attracted. But when we feed ourselves on the bad news of what's going on, it is dark around us. I mean, it doesn't take long watching the news to become overwhelmed by the complicated issues, the issues. I mean, we got our team going to Israel this next week. The complicated issues with Israel and the Palestinians, the complicated issues that take place in places all over the world. We are people that have interest in all of that. But if I don't feed myself from the works of God, from what he's doing, if I don't learn how to arise in my present situation to discover the face of the Lord, the countenance of the Lord for my present situation, I will not reflect who he is, and therefore I will cut off those who would normally be attracted to discover him. Does this make sense to you? It's not chasing the devil. It's not trying to chase darkness. It's bringing light. Light does a great job of getting rid of darkness. You got the story there, right? And that's just simply who we are. Every time, every time you are bold enough to pray for somebody in the line at the grocery store, even if they don't get saved, even if they don't get healed, you've released something. You're contributing to a culture that is being positioned for the transformation of society. I will settle for nothing less than 100% of the people I pray for get healed. Now, I may die. I may run out of years before that comes, but that's where I'm going. I'm going there because that was the model Jesus gave. There's not another model I like. Job's doesn't work for me. I have no interest in becoming like Job, as great a man as he was. The only part of his life that we read about, he wasn't born again, which couldn't happen until Jesus died and rose from the dead. So here's this quest of a culture of people that have this incredible interest of breaking more and more and more into society. It's becoming more and more important that you bear the countenance of the Lord. Look at Psalm 67 just real quick and see if we can find a place to end this. Psalm 67, just so that you have some scripture to put that thought with. Psalm 67 is just one of my favorites in the Bible. This particular page is heavily soiled in my new elephant hide bound Bible. Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known in the earth. Man, that's huge. You know what? If you write cross references, which for me is my main way of studying the Bible, is to see how the Bible describes and defines itself. It would be real appropriate to write Isaiah 60 verse 1 next to this passage. Because the whole issue of you stepping into your place of servants, beholding him, serving people, is that his countenance would be seen on your countenance, so that his way would be known in the earth. Look at this. God be merciful to us and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, that your way, what way? The way of mercy and blessing would be known on the earth, and your salvation among all the nations. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Look at that. Then the earth shall yield her increase. It's actually a healing of the soil as people worship. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The kings will come to your brightness, and nations to the brightness of your rising. Do you see the similarity of this passage and that one? They work together so powerfully because you have been privileged to behold him and to reflect him. And it's him on you that changes the course of history for nations. We've been summoned. I have no hunger that is greater than my hunger for his glory. I have no hunger. I have nothing that I desire more than for the glory of the Lord to be realized and manifested in and upon my life and around me. Visible manifestation included, all of it, the presence of the Lord. When we come together to worship, it's not preliminary, as you know, for a message. I don't have the need to stand up and talk to anybody. My only desire is that we give him first place and see what he wants to do. And that we enjoy together on a weekly basis and sometimes daily basis is what you get to carry to the streets of our city. Do you know what happens when you worship Jesus? He shows up. He just shows up. I used to just pick certain businesses and just worship the Lord and just quietly go into them. And you can see and measure the change in the place. You can see impact on people. I've had people talk to me, take me aside, talk to me, just because there's this presence of the King of Glory that rests upon people. This is our privilege. Arise, shine. Stop working in the gutter. Stop looking down where things are bad. Lift up your eyes. Arise. Glance heavenward. Get a picture of what God is saying and doing. Live from that table of the good news of God's works. Then you'll be qualified and equipped to take care of the issues and troubles and problems that concern you. This is it. I mean, I realize it's simple and it's repeat, but this is who we are. This is just it. I was just so reminded this week again of this. Reminded again as I saw so many people touched so powerfully. That, you know, it really is about a good God. That your way may be known in the earth. God, I want them to know you're good. How can I have them know you're good if my countenance doesn't reflect your goodness? How can I have them know that you're worth trusting if there's no peace on my countenance? How can they know you are good if there's no joy in my life? Joy is much more than laughing at a joke. Joy is an ongoing sense of pleasure in God, in life. You've modeled it. You've experienced all of it in measure. And my cry right now is, God, something's happened here in the last, I would say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, where there's been a release, sometimes Sunday morning, sometimes Sunday night. But we've had something break loose in the realm of glory. And I want you to stand with me because we're going to pray into this for a moment before I end the meeting. Brian started the second service with, was it Let It Rain? Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. Why don't you come up and do that one, Brian? I wasn't going to, but I think it's a good idea. Open the floodgates of heaven. I don't know. I don't have anything else to do with my life. I really don't. I don't have anything. Life has been canceled. I was born for the glory. I found why I'm alive. If it means sitting in that chair where God moves powerfully in the room, I'm just thrilled with that. If it means traveling, I don't really care. I was born for the glory. It's the only reason I'm alive. It gets me from day to day. It's the quest for the glory. And I want us to sing this and kind of wrapping it up. And let's have ministry team come on up towards the front, and be good if you did that. But let's... Are you able to? Okay. Let's just sing this together. We'll sing this a few times.